Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. His dominion is an eternal dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. When Daniel was a boy, Nebuchadnezzar, the mighty king of Babylon, besieged his hometown, Jerusalem. Eventually, the king of Judah surrendered. Nebuchadnezzar took Jehoiakim captive to Babylon, along with 7,000 of the best educated and skilled among the Jews. Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were among those taken captive, and so was the priest Ezekiel. Daniel spent the rest of his whole long life in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried away all the gold and silver vessels from the temple. These vessels had been dedicated to the worship of Yehovah. The Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar conquered almost the whole Fertile Crescent. First, he conquered Assyria, the previously dominant empire, and then he subdued Egypt and all the lesser nations in between. In the spiritual sense, Babylon represents the love of dominating, and especially a church whose leaders seek to use the holy things of the church to gain dominion over the whole world and even over heaven and the Lord. The love of dominating by means of the holy things of the church and the doctrine of salvation by faith alone without keeping the Lord's commandments are the two evils that end every church. What does love of dominion look like in us? Is there a good love of dominion? How can we tell a good love of dominion from an evil one? The Lord gives us answers in the story of Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. The dream begins with a beautiful tree, tall and strong, with fair leaves and many blossoms, providing food for all. Animals dwelt in its shade and birds in its branches. This is a picture of a spiritually healthy man. By man is meant especially a husband and wife together. It is also a picture of a healthy church, providing the nourishment of truths that lead to the good of life, and a home for good affections, such as loves of uses, meant by the animals, and true thoughts, meant by the birds nesting in their branches. In a healthy man and a church, there is a good love of ruling or love of dominion. For example, we read, dignities or positions of authority in the earliest times were only such as were accorded by children to parents. They were dignities of love, full of respect and veneration, not on account of their birth from them, but on account of the instruction and wisdom received from them, which was a second birth, in itself spiritual, because it was the birth of their spirit. Children need their parents to provide instruction, leadership, and discipline, to teach and to show them the way to heaven and the way to a useful life. Teachers in school must be in charge of their classrooms so that there's an orderly opportunity to learn. Then gradually, the truth will set the students free. Think of how much we appreciate wise, principled leadership in organizations both small and great, such as a township, county, state, and country, a community center, restoration of Leeser Lake, a fun run, summer baseball or soccer, and so on. And the Lord teaches that we cannot live together without governors to restrain us. We read, order cannot be maintained in the world without governors, who are to observe all things which are done according to order and which are done contrary to order, and who are to reward those who live according to order and to punish those who live contrary to order. If this is not done, the human race will perish. So we read, there is a love of rule springing from a love of performing uses. This is a spiritual love, because it makes one with love toward the neighbor. Still, this cannot be called a love of rule, but a love of performing duties. By means of such people, the Lord rules, for they fear the Lord and love truth, good, and use. Therefore, they love God, that is, the Lord. Such rulers are good, and their rule is the rule of love. Indeed, when spiritual and celestial love rules, then the Lord rules. But then a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven and cried with force, "Hew down the tree and cut off its boughs and scatter its blossoms. Let the animals get away from under it and the birds from his boughs. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let the heart of an animal be given to him." These words signify the corruption of a human being and an organization, especially a church. The doctrine outlines how the good love of dominion degenerated. But after those most ancient times, the love of rule from the mere delight of that love came in gradually. And because enmity and hostility against those who were unwilling to submit entered at the same time, tribes, families, and households necessarily gathered themselves together into general communities and appointed over themselves one whom they at first called judge, and afterwards prince, and finally king and emperor. At the same time, they began to protect themselves by towers, earthworks, and walls. From judge, prince, king, or emperor, as from the head into the body, the lust of ruling spread like a contagion to others. And from this arose degrees of dignity and also honors according to them. And with these, the love of self and the pride of one's own prudence. Babylon or Babel means the church consisting of those who, by means of the holy things of the church, strive to gain dominion over the whole world, and this by dominion over the souls of men, claiming to themselves authority to save whomever they want. And to this end, they draw and transfer to themselves all the Lord's authority as if it had been given to them by him. The church consisting of such people is very different in the beginning from what it becomes in process of time. In the beginning, they are, as it were, in the zeal for the Lord, for the word, for love and faith, and especially for the salvation of men. But in that zeal, the fire of domineering lies hidden. And in process of time, as dominion increases, the fire breaks forth. And so far as it comes into act, the holy things of the church become the means and dominion itself the end. And then they not only ascribe the salvation of souls to their own authority, but they also appropriate to themselves all the Lord's divine power. And when they do this, they pervert every good and truth of the church, and thus profane the holy things of the church. These things are Babylon. We can see the love of self and the pride of dominion in Nebuchadnezzar's own words. "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power and for the glory of my honor?" We read, "The fallen state of Nebuchadnezzar depicts the state of those after death who exalt themselves as gods over all things of the church, namely, they are driven out from man, which means that as to the understanding, they are no longer like men. They become beasts and eat grass like oxen, signifies that they become sensual." Daniel advised Nebuchadnezzar to break off his sins by justice and his iniquities by being gracious to the poor. The doctrine teaches how terribly sinful the corrupt love of dominion becomes. In the love of self, there is the love of doing evil. And for the reason that the man does not love the neighbor, but himself alone. And he who loves himself alone sees others only as apart from himself, or as insignificant and of no account. And he despises them in comparison with himself, accounting it nothing to inflict evil upon them. And this is why one who is in the love of ruling from the love of self thinks nothing of defrauding the neighbor, committing adultery with his wife, defaming him, breathing revenge against him even to murder, venting his rage against him, and so on. Man becomes such for the reason that the devil himself, with whom he is conjoined and by whom he is led, is nothing else than a love of ruling from the love of self. And he who is led by the devil, that is, by hell, is led into all these evils. And he is led continually by means of the delights of these evils. Why does the love of dominating from love of self, what does it look like in everyday life? One of the most common forms is a power struggle between married partners. Since true love loves the freedom of the other and seeks a joining of minds, competition for power and rights banishes true love. We can fall into a love of dominion in relation to our children. It can take the form of contempt, or micromanaging their lives, manipulating or demanding and enforcing obedience. Love of dominion degrades working together in employment, in committees, and in fact, in every situation where people are trying to cooperate. We can see how important it is to guard ourselves against love of ruling from self-love and flee from it wherever we notice it cropping up. But the Lord teaches that it's hard for us to distinguish between a good love of ruling and an evil love. For example, what are our motives in requiring responsible behavior from our children? We read, "Yet they can be distinguished by this, that the heavenly love is with those who approach the Lord and live according to the precepts of the Decalogue, and that the infernal love is with those who do not approach the Lord and who do not live according to the precepts of the Decalogue." We must go to the Lord in His Word. Suppose a husband and wife find themselves slipping into a power struggle over some issue, or suppose that members of a committee are not in agreement and feelings begin to arise that the other parties are unduly influencing the outcome. What can they do? First, each of us can examine himself or herself as to whether we are failing to keep the Lord's commandments outwardly or in intention. Are we treating each other unjustly? At the same time, we can pray to the Lord for help in looking honestly at ourselves and to give us strength to overcome the bad habits we discover. We beg the Lord to give us wisdom to see better ways to interact so that we may begin a new life. It takes time to subdue the selfish love of dominion. As we are told, the essential delight of a man's life is to love himself and the world above all things. This delight cannot be removed instantly, but only gradually. And so much as there is of this delight remaining in man, so far evil prevails in him. And there is no way in which this evil can be removed except that the love of self become a love of uses, or the love of rule come to have uses as its end and not self. For then, uses constitute the head, and the love of self, or the love of ruling, constitutes first the body beneath the head, and then the feet on which it walks. Who does not see that good or use must constitute the head, and that when it does, the Lord is there? Our goal needs to become that the Lord may rule in all the uses of our lives, or in other words, that the Lord God Jesus Christ may reign. So far as we want to love our neighbor as ourselves, we must guard his freedom. Our children need to see us humbling ourselves before the Lord's teachings, so that the Lord makes the rules as far as possible. We pray for humility, patience, and respect for others especially when our ideas differ. We seek to treat our neighbors the way we would hope to be treated. We humbly ask for enlightenment to exercise proper discrimination in the uses we are engaged with, neither dominating nor abdicating our responsibility. Above all, we pray that we may not disobey the Lord's commandments for His sake. In our lesson, we read, "The love of ruling from the love of uses is supremely heavenly, and hence is with those who are in the highest heaven. The humility before the Lord that goes with such love is represented in Nebuchadnezzar's words after he had learned his lesson. May the Lord grant that we too may learn the lesson he expresses here. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my knowledge returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him who lives to eternity, whose dominion is an eternal dominion, and His kingdom is from generation and generation. Amen." Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.